Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Mouth Sword Ministries. I'm your host, Timothy Aaron, and I'm joined with
Rhonda K.
And we're going to talk about divorce today. What's acceptable when it comes to divorce? Before we get into that, I'm going to open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day you've given us, another day of life, health, and strength, food, clothing, shelter, mercy, and grace. We just ask that you continue to bless us and keep us and provide for us like you have been doing. We thank you and praise you for who you are. And these things, we just thank you and praise you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to talk about divorce today. Divorce is a very, very huge problem in America, and it has spilled over into the church as well. So that tells me that, you know, a lot of the church's teachings are of this country, of this culture, and we need to get away from that. We need to get back in the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say about everything, whether it's marriage, whether it's divorce, whether it's adultery, fornication, whether it's giving, whether it's the Sabbath, whether it's circumcision, all of these things. You know, the Bible has something to say about everything, and we need to try to make sure we keep it Bible all the time, to the best of our ability. So I'm going to open up here with Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read what Jesus has to say here, because he is the ultimate authority for the Christian, you know, for the church. It's not about what Moses says. It's about what Jesus says. And a matter of fact, Jesus, he says just that here in Matthew chapter 5. He talks about what Moses had to say, and then he overrules Moses with what he has to say. Why? When Jesus was going to be baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says the heavens opened up and the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And then later on in Jesus' life, he did the transfiguration. I believe it was in Matthew chapter 17. And something similar happened. The heavens opened up because there was Jesus, there was Moses, and there was Elijah the prophet. And then Peter said, "Hey, we're going to make a tabernacle for each one of you, for Moses, for Jesus, and for Elijah." And then the voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." It's not about Moses anymore. It's not about the prophets anymore. They did a great job for their time. But now it's about what thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what Jesus had to say about divorce. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. "It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whoso shall marrieth her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Now, right here he says, saving for the cause of fornication. Whosoever putteth away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, except for the cause of fornication. So this is the only exception Jesus gives for a man putting away his wife. Now, here's the thing about exceptions. When you give one exception, you have to give them all. And this is the only one Jesus gave. And over the years, I've heard people add to the exception list, you know, where he's verbally abusive, where he's physically abusive, where he don't do what he used to, or she don't do this, or she don't do that, or, you know. So people add to the divorce exception list, but Jesus only gave one, and he says saving for the cause of a wife committing fornication. And now he is talking specific and in details. Now, I've often heard a lot of ministries teach that this goes both ways, because if you teach that only the man can put away his wife for fornication, you create a double standard, and you're not supposed to create double standards. But this is exactly what the Lord has done. He has created this standard, and he said it with great specifics and great intent. Okay, and then you can go to Matthew chapter 19, verses 9. Now, this is in the book of Matthew as well. So Jesus says it a separate time here, and he adds a little extra detail to it. He says, "And I say unto you, whosoever putteth away his wife, except it be for fornication," or he earlier he said, "save for the cause of fornication, shall marry another," okay, "committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doeth commit adultery." So Jesus is letting you know that divorce is not on the table for him, for the people of God. And he gives the one exception both times, and that's the wife that commits fornication. Now, most ministries teach today that that goes both ways. It's the spouse that commits fornication is grounds for divorce. But I happen to believe that this is not a both way, one size fits all thing. This is specifically talking about the only ground for divorce is a wife that commits fornication.
But why is that? And where do you find that at?
Okay,
it's just
well,
the wife.
It's how he words it. He gives great detail. You know, he's not talking in general. He's not using the word spouse here, or he's not saying people here. He's giving specifics. Mm-hmm. And that plays into the divine order of God. Okay, when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is giving God's divine order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you. But I will have you know that," this is verse 3, "that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Okay, go down to verse 8. And he says, "For the man is not of a woman, but the woman is of the man." He's talking about Adam and Eve, how Eve was made of Adam. And then verse 9, he says, "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." So because God's divine order, and because God has given man the headship position in the relationship, this is why Jesus specifically said it the way he said it. And so, you know, it's unfortunate because a lot of churches today, they feel that pressure to fit in with, you know, popular opinion and the popular way. And that's just not fair to say, only a man can put away his wife for fornication, but a woman can't put away her husband for fornication. Well, because of God's divine order, he did not give women headship over men to do that. So that's why. Apostle Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, he's talking to his churches, and he says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." He says, this is not only my rule, but this is Jesus's rule. He says, "Let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she does depart, let her remain unmarried." Okay. And then he says, "Or she can go back to her husband and be reconciled to him." And then he says, "Unto the husband, let not the husband put away his wife." So it's pretty consistent that divorce is not supposed to be a part of the Christian walk. Okay. So all of these other reasons that it seems like that we have engrafted into the divorce exception should not be. The only one exception for divorce is a wife that commits fornication. That's it. No others. You know, you can't be adding to the word of God, because the minute you add to the word of God, the word is no longer pure. It's polluted, and you lead people down the wrong path. And that's exactly what we have seen with all of this divorce today. You know, all of these reasons for divorce. So if you have any questions or comments about this divorce topic, we would love to hear from you. If you want to weigh in, and you can contact us at mouthswordministries@gmail.com. That's mouthswordministries@gmail.com, or taaron at thiefinthenightministries.com. Either email would be good. And we would like to hear what you got to say and your opinions and your thoughts on this hot topic here. Divorce from a Christian perspective, was acceptable. Okay, I'm going to end in prayer. First, I would like to offer an invitation before I end in prayer to accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So all you got to do is confess that Jesus is Lord and he's Lord over your life. And just repent of your sins and then follow Christ and follow his teachings. And from that point forward, you are saved. You're a Christian. And when you die, you're going to make heaven your home. Amen. Amen. So that would be the best choice you could ever make. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and for your loving kindness. Thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for everything you have done for us. We just ask that you help people that are hurting and that are really going through a crisis in their life right now. We just ask that you minister to them, touch them, make their situation better, show them that there's light at the end of the tunnel in you. And we just ask that you do these wonderful things in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.